rigidity at first about, you know, if my mind wandered, I was sort of annoyed, rather than seeing that it as this progressive skill of being okay with that. Okay, you know, bring myself back. And those are, I don't think I'm ever going to be someone who can do like a 10-day retreat, silent retreat, but being able to, in the moment, take a deep breath and say, okay, relax, deal with it, means that I'm much more able to let small things roll off me.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree about meditation, and just getting that practice in so you can get into it quickly when you need it is so helpful. Outside of meditation, are there people that you use as a support system?
Completely. Absolutely. I mean, I don't think any of us could get through this work by ourselves. You know, nobody's an island. So my support system, one of my most important people is my best friend, and we shared an office together as postdocs. We sat back to back, working on our research. She's a social scientist and a phenomenal person. Approaches things differently than me, and we have different personalities. It was fantastic to be able to share what we were both doing in conservation, but that we came at it at different angles. So I love having somebody that I can share it all with. And you know, they don't judge you, and you laugh about things, and you get through it together. And so there's a number of people I went through grad school with, who are like that, particularly other women in science. My family is really important. My mom and my brothers are phenomenal, and I love being able to share the highs and the lows with them. I'm fortunate at Y2Y to work with a ton of great staff, and they are people who are, although most of them are not scientists, they all excel in their different aspect of conservation. So it means that I don't have to be the best at budgeting. I don't have to be the best grant writer. I don't have to be the best at media, because we have people on staff who are experts in that. And they're the ones who all together we help move this organization and this vision for the Yellowstone to Yukon region forward. So it's super supportive. And actually, science Twitter is also really supportive. People sometimes think that it's this horrible online world, but science Twitter is really pretty remarkable in that way.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up media and science Twitter. I was really curious about how you relate to science communication and what that brings to your job and your experience.
I was a reluctant science communicator in some ways. I knew it was important, and I was interested in doing it, but I wasn't keen on social media. And I had to sign up for it for a course I was taking. And I felt like some of the challenges that I had in grad school about imposter syndrome and feeling like I didn't understand something. I'd clearly missed the memo where everybody, you know, understood all the stats that they were doing. And I realized that a lot of it was about communication. So the importance of not using jargon and of breaking things down for others, it's not about dumbing it down. It's about speaking to interested, intelligent audiences who have different expertise than you. And it's incredibly helpful. It's good for your career. You know, it helps you write grants, definitely helps you give talks, research seminars, public talks, and makes your own writing clearer when you're writing research papers. It's also really hard. It's I have to go over things multiple times, and I ask people for feedback. But it's incredibly important. And if we want to move to have STEM fields and the kind of results that we get from science, if we want to have that actually inform things in the real world, there's an incredibly important step there, which is communicating, not just with other scientists, but with people outside science as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I could not agree more. So Erin, do you want to share with us what you like to do in your spare time?
Yeah, I'm fortunate to live in a beautiful place. I live in Canmore, Alberta, which is 20 minutes from the gate of Banff National Park. So this is a beautiful area full of parks and different places to go and explore. So on weekends, I love to hike and ski. I'm getting better at mountain biking, although I fall down a ton. And so I really like spending time outside. I'm also really interested in social issues. So in democracy, in journalism, in different kinds of social justice.
Awesome. Are there any causes or issues that you're passionate about that you haven't mentioned yet?
I feel like we could fill another podcast with them. But I guess some of the most one of the most important ones that I think is pervades many different aspects of society is supporting investigative journalism. And that might sound kind of weird, but it's also kind of like science. It's about digging into facts, about explaining things, finding out why something works the way it does, and then sharing that information. So I really see that an important role of investigative journalism to help us learn about our society and to make more informed decisions as citizens.
Definitely. What a wonderful issue to be passionate about. Okay, well, we are ready now for our lightning round questions.
Do, do, do! Lightning round!
Exactly. Okay. Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
How much coffee do you drink in a day?
Zero. I am one of those people who is naturally caffeinated.
If you're on an island and you could only bring three things with you, what would they be?
Is it cheating to say they'd bring a satellite phone and a raft and something like that? I would probably bring a big fluffy hat, a very long book, and a big knife.
Good choices. Tell us a fun or obscure fact. It can be about anything.
I love facts. I love the did you know game. I feel like, you know, it's so super fun to play that with kids too, because I always learn things. So an interesting fact, the Yellowstone to Yukon region is the source of drinking water for at least 15 million people. So if you live in Western Canada, chances are that you took a drink of water that originated in the mountains here.
Amazing. That's awesome. What's for dinner tonight?
Bison roast. I went in on a bison with some friends last year, and it filled my freezer. So I'm and it's wonderful.
Okay, you're at a talent show audition. What do you do to wow the judges?
Run away.
Did you go to camp as a kid? And if so, what was your favorite activity?
I didn't go to organized camp. I went to family camp. My grandparents have a fishing camp in Northern Ontario, north of Lake Superior. And I spent most of my summers there as a kid. So we'd go in by the train and get off. And it's this little cabin on the edge of a beautiful lake with a big sandy beach. So my summer camp was, my grandparents, aunts and uncles, cousins, and other kids who were, in a couple of other cabins nearby. So, you know, we did the classic things like, making sandcastles and, squishing pennies on the train tracks, which we probably weren't allowed to do, and those kind of things. So I think my favorite activities were probably swimming, running away from leeches, and fishing.
Awesome. Who inspires you?
There's a lot of people. People that I feel are really inspirational are folks who put their lives on the line for conservation. So many of these people are rangers and wardens in different protected areas around the world, especially in the global south. And they're people who are probably not paid very well, who sometimes don't have the best equipment and are doing really tough jobs in physically demanding, isolating, and often very dangerous places. I find that is, as a person who lives in, you know, in privileged North America, it is so important to think about the people who put their lives on the line for nature conservation.
Awesome. Well, that wraps up our lightning round questions. You have survived.
Yay!
So as we finish up, what advice would you give to the next generation of STEM professionals?
So I think some is personal advice and some is professional advice. And the personal side is to believe in yourself, to have a long-term vision of where you want to get to be flexible about the path you might take to get there, because things are going to change. And also to support other people. So that means finding the folks who are supportive, and being a good friend, to share things, you know when it's better to share than to be competitive. Professionally, I encourage, everybody, but especially a younger generation of STEM professionals to get experience public speaking. To try to see criticism as an opportunity for growth. Yes, it hurts and sometimes it's embarrassing, but try to shift your mindset from something like, oh, I screwed up, to, I'm going to learn from this and I'll do better next time. And then eat your cheesecake afterwards. And especially, and this is something I have to relearn all the time, don't try to do all the things. And I'm laughing as I say that because it can be really tempting to think that you have to do all the things. You have to do them all at once and they all have to be perfect. And they don't. Think strategically and intentionally about the things you want to engage in, and go forward and be bold and courageous. So it's a ton of fun. STEM is great, and I think it's important for a young generation, for everybody to see STEM as creative, as fun, and as a real opportunity.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the fabulous advice. Where can people connect with you, maybe on Science Twitter, or where can people find out more about the Y2Y initiative?
Our website is www.y2, the number, y.net. And you can find me on there. You can read about the different work that Y2Y and our conservation partners are doing across the Yellowstone to Yukon region. You can find me on Twitter at @Erin_J. And if people have questions about the Yellowstone to Yukon region or want to talk about conservation, they can always send me an email.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
My pleasure. This was a lot of fun.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to keep up with all the latest news on women in STEM, you can visit us online at wwest.ca. There, you can subscribe to our bi-weekly newsletter, connect with us on social media, and more. From everyone at West Coast Women in Engineering, Science, and Technology, thanks for listening.
Up against racism is an ongoing battle. How will you help?
Teach my children about systemic racism and about historic and persistent colonialism and the responsibility that comes with their privilege. I will use my voice to speak up and I will make more space at the table.
I will continue to educate myself and others in my community about the racism and inequities faced by BIPOC.
We will not be silent and idle.
This message is brought to you by the Canadian Anti-Racism Youth Coalition. Visit caryc.ca for more information about how you can stand up and speak out.
The Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty, who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sv-support@sfu.ca. That was sv-support@sfu.ca.